and Jules. This is the Nick and Jules podcast.
Know someone who would make a great disability support worker? Employ them through Carer Solutions.
Hello. Build suspense. It's Chris and Mari. Do you remember that ad?
No.
That's something that Jules and I talk about a little bit on the show. Is, do you remember Chris and Mari, the gardeners?
No.
Oh, it's a very maybe late to mid-2000s thing.
What did they say other than their names?
Their thing was what's the world? Not a florist, but like the where they sell plant. What's that place called?
Garden nursery.
Shop? Nursery. Yeah, yeah. So Chris and Mari, so their whole their ad was hello, hello, it's Chris and Mari, and they were like this local chain of
nurseries
through I think the southeast of Melbourne.
Okay.
During the 90s into the 2000s.
Oh, see, I was in Sydney.
Oh.
So I didn't know. I never met Chris and Mari.
Mari,
sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mari. That's really
their big
bad
thing,
of me.
Their big thing was that they would sell whatever those trees are, or plants that you put in the backyard to like block out so neighbors can't see into your backyard.
Uh-huh.
And one of them, they'd be naked in the backyard. And then Mari would pretend to chop off Chris's penis with the secateurs.
What?
Yeah, it was a weird ad.
Sounds it.
Yeah, I don't think they're in business anymore either.
One of them's in jail for cutting off an
and the other one,
appendage.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the late in life sort of DIY circumcision style thing.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah. All right. Well, not important there. But it's not Chris and Mari. It's Nick and Em. And next week, 1 week away from being at Nick and Jules again,
mm-hmm.
which is great for Jules, I guess. I don't know. Fine for everyone else. Life goes on. We've come in hot off the weekend. A good show, I think, to start the week.
Yeah, you think?
Good first quarter of the week.
I only got in trouble one time.
Yeah. Oh, and it was for something so, you know, we don't want to talk about the nitty gritties of radio. Bit little bubble, yeah.
But like, good for us. Good for us.
Well, you know, for you, no, even not good for you. I think just good for the game.
That's right.
Good for the game, really.
Good day of radio is good for the game.
Absolutely. Hot off the weekend, which saw you watch some football. How's this for our weekend?
Mm.
We back ended it very specifically by watching American football.
Mm-hmm.
You started it, and then I ended it like by watching it the very morning before we started work.
This very morning, yeah, exactly.
Friday
arvo, first thing I did was set up the projector and watch some NFL.
How many people, by the way, came to that event?
Four. Mm-hmm.
So one of them was there, because we talk about this on the show, that one of them was the person that was the girl that was doing the mm-hmm. yay sports. Mm-hmm. So that's 25% of the group doing that is great.
Yes.
So it was you, Bodie, this girl and?
And then another friend who knows sport and watched it.
Mm.
And another friend who knows sports and watched it.
Okay. So what's her connection to the group? Just like your friends or? Like,
yeah. Bodie used to work with her.
Used to work with her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
So an ex-colleague, and they both work in like spirits. So they don't.
Ghosts.
Yes.
All right. Well, that story is coming out. But yes, a very annoying woman to have at your thing.
Yes,
your weekend.
She's lovely. If you're listening, Ash, I do apologize, but it's true. Learn how to watch sports or don't watch them. I don't care either way.
Oh, hey, just sit there and you know, be on your phone if you have to, or rock up later if you have to. Honestly. In advance, message someone that does know sports and ask for a bunch of key phrases that you could say.
Yeah, totally.
Because it's like, you know, in any game, there's like five things you could ever say that would make sense no matter when you said them.
Well, it's like I don't really know AFL. And like when I went to the game, like at a place to watch it live, people were like, yeah, you can just shout ball.
That's the one thing that I was going to say. Yeah,
yeah.
In any game, you can just yell ball.
Yeah.
So. It does sound like you're a toddler that's just learned about what that is.
Like, ball!
Ball! Ball! And that's, what is an AFL player if not a moderately older toddler?
So true.
They're motivated by the same thing.
So true.
All right. I went out twice on the weekend.
Okay, you keep bragging about this.
I'm not meaning it to be a bragging thing.
Well, every time you say it, it seems more braggy.
I don't quite understand it if it is a brag, I suppose.
Well, it's just like, I've got friends and things to do. That's the brag.
I reckon it's probably the first time that I've gone out in the sense where I've gone to like...
clubs.
/ pubs, / bars,
to
multiple
dance.
Places, yeah, and
yeah.
Like been like had a bit more to drink than I should have. Probably the first time this year. Like I've done that in different iterations, but mm-hmm. definitely the first time it's been like upper level,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah, you and took it to the next notch.
Yes, took it up. We dialed it up,
mm-hmm.
And it was made me think when I was like, because we went on the Friday night just for dinner. It was supposed to just be dinner. Ended up being a bit later. We went for some drinks.
Mm-hmm.
not like too wild enough. I drove home. I was in bed before midnight. No stress.
Mm-hmm.
The Saturday was going to be a big one because it was like the end of soccer thing. There's a lot of teams out in the, like out in town
because mm-hmm.
everyone's league had wrapped up that night.
Yeah.
So it was a big night across town. So I knew it was going to be a big night. At the start of the night when we're having dinner and we're having a few drinks and you know, everyone's having a great time, the vibes are high, I sat there and I went, why aren't we doing this more often? This is great.
Yep.
Hanging out with everyone. This is a great time. And then
cut to. I know where this is going.
Yeah, cut to Sunday morning and you go.
This is why.
This is interesting. All right. This is, to borrow a phrase I used on the podcast last week, but I borrowed happiness from the day following.
It's true.
Absolutely.
That is what it is though, right? Like. It is fun, but then there's also like it's fun to a percentage and then you kind of topple over the peak of the fun and then you're just wild drunk and then the next day you're like, ah.
I almost think you do need to topple the peak a little bit.
Yeah. In order to have the bad day the next day.
Yeah, well, because if we just get, you know, it, very rarely there'd be no one on this planet that can hit their peak level of happiness / I've had drinks /
and good sustain times, it.
Sustain it. Because no. You're either going to hit it and don't realize and then you're going to back off and mm-hmm. then you're going to chase it down again. Mm-hmm. Or you hit it and you keep going a bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm certainly the latter.
You're a bit more?
Yeah, 100%. I'm a yes man when it comes to like, and all my friends are yes men too. So like, it's very much like a, what about one more? And we're all like, yeah.
That's what Friday night ended up being because it was supposed to just be dinner and one of our friends ended up having more than he probably had wanted to.
Yeah.
And then I was like, going to take two friends home and then the friend was like, do you want to come to this one guy? And he's like, yeah. And then another friend of ours asked the exact same thing. He's like, well, if you guys are going.
Then I guess I'll go too.
And honestly, the only reason I didn't was because I would have died because you know what it's like. We're getting up so early on every day of the week.
You'd have been delirious and maybe committed a crime.
Absolutely, this is at 11:30. I commit crimes even when I'm not delirious. So
that's true.
If we want to, you know, those might be serious ones if I'm actually delirious.
Exactly.
It's not worth the risk.
No, not at all.
But you know, survived, which is good.
Proud of you.
Thank you. And then you know, maybe I'll make a habit of it. Maybe I'll become. I don't know was there ever that group of people in your like high school or early uni days that was just like known for like going out and being on it all the time?
Hello, it's me.
Is that you?
Yeah, definitely.
But like disgustingly so?
Yeah, I would say so. If I'm going to be like truthful about it.
What age group was that? Was that like late high school? Was that?
I would say like we used to go to this girl, Michelle Smith's house, like pretty much like probably once a fortnight in high school. So like from 15. Until I was like probably last week. Nah, probably like really messy, probably until I was like 27.
It's such a strange culture around it, isn't it?
Yeah, truly. I actually was talking.
What was your parents' attitudes to underage drinking?
My mum would, I don't, am I allowed to say that or will she get in trouble?
I think you're allowed to talk about her attitude.
Her attitude was she didn't care.
Oh, okay, interesting.
I mean, she cared, but she was like, she kind of was of the attitude, like, as long as I know what's happening, then I'm okay with it. You know what I mean?
As long as the mum knew or as long as you had as a child hadn't had that much, so you knew what was happening?
No, as long as my mum knew, like, where I was what I was doing. Sure.
You could be lying in a gutter, but as long as she knows what gutter it is.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, not actually, but I mean.
That's the vibe.
Yeah, that is. And she would come. Like, if I was in a gutter, she would obviously come and get me.
Hang out in the gutter.
And come and get me.
Mum was in the gutter before me. we'd wake up in the gutter together. Aww.
No. But yeah, she would come and get
bonding.
Me.
Okay, well, that's nice.
But yeah, like certainly even in high school, not in high school, sorry, in uni, similarly, I met this guy who was in art, like I was doing arts and he was studying archaeology. And then there was another friend of his who was studying architecture. And then there was three or four friends that weren't at uni. They were just kind of like living their lives. And we used to just like all the time go to like the pub across the road from the uni and the uni bar. And just like, yeah.
Cause a ruckus.
Maybe, yeah.
You caused a ruckus once or twice. I've caused a ruckus once or twice in my day.
I don't know
day.
If I should be admitting this, but you know what? It is who I am. Like that is where that's where I've come from.
Yeah.
I like to think that I'm more like, you know, sound mind and responsible these days.
That's nice.
But I've lived, you know?
She's lived. You know, she's caused a ruckus.
Oh, yeah. I have been a menace.
I feel like I haven't had enough menace years.
Well, you know, there's still time.
Honestly, I feel like I'm looking ahead at my next like 2 months of like what's going on in my personal life. I feel like it's going to be between now and the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a menaceful.
I'm really happy
months.
For you.
Thank
it's
you.
Pretty fun. I think just, you know, like to a degree.
Yeah, I kind of think there's sort of like 2 weeks between each sort of big event. So there's enough time for me to like physically recuperate.
Uh-huh.
And mentally
and then go again.
Get myself ready.
Love it.
Yeah.
So good.
All right, everyone, enjoy the podcast. Enjoy, drink responsibly.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow is a sober show.
Do you reckon you still were like a little bit residual alcohol today?
Nah,
yeah.
No, I don't think so. I felt pretty, because I am actively aware of trying to like keep myself physically feeling as good as possible. I felt pretty good on the Saturday night, even after we stopped drinking. Like mm-hmm. there was a point where I went, oh, I'm, you know, anything more than now and I will not be having a fun time. Like mm-hmm. I'll start getting dizzy. So mm-hmm. like, I'm pretty good about my limits.
Mm-hmm.
And then I run to pick up my car yesterday afternoon.
That's disturbing.
It was, you know, certainly sobered, was very sobering. Arguably the most sobering thing you could be.
Yeah, fair.
It was hungover and running in midday. This is
disgusting.
Times. Yeah. All right, here's the podcast. Back tomorrow. Everyone be 00. Breathalyze yourself before you listen to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, actually, one side note before we do move on. At the pub that I was at, there was a breathalyzer on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Are those accurate? They can't be accurate, right? Like, they can't be like...
Why? How much did you blow?
No, I didn't. I didn't do it, but I just thought that's... I mean, clever, like they should have them. But yeah. I do wonder. I hope they're accurate, as I suppose.
Well, I think there would have to be some sort of disclaimer that's like, oh, you know, there is room for error with this thing. But they'd also have to be some level of accurate because people probably will go by them.
Absolutely.
To then drive. So
if I did it and it was like, hey, you know, you're... Point, what is it, 0.4 you have to be? No, 0.4. 0.4, you'd be dead, I think.
I think so too.
But
yeah, 0.00.
0.005?
0.005, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so if you were like 0.04 or something, you're like, hey, we're all good to go here, and then hops in and it's off by one.
Mm.
Yeah, that would be... Could you sue the pub, maybe?
I don't think you could sue the pub. You might be able to sue the people that make the thing. That's why I think they probably would be quite accurate because... That you
don't
know.
Want to get sued,
but certainly there would be, as I said, disclaimers that say like don't use this as a legal guide to like tell you.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? Like if it was like a 0.001 difference, and that was the thing that like got you in trouble. Surely the T's and C's on that bad boy would say like.
Yeah, I suppose if it was you, it said you were 0.04, and then you hopped in and you were actually one. Or something. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Something crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm sure that would be like, hey.
Yeah. Also, I think just don't drink and drive.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That's,
leave your car in the city and go for a run.
Well, you don't also have to be that wild about it. But yeah.
Actually, drink drive before you do that.
No, don't do that.
Oh, I'm not even joking.
No
oh,
right, jokes.
Absolutely. This, fair enough.
No jokes
hey,
today.
That was a test.
Did
passed,
I pass?
You passed.
Excellent.
All right, that's the podcast. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Grandma's been uncomfortably, unnecessarily flirty. And I just...
Does that imply there is a level of flirtation that's acceptable?
Probably not. Yeah, any level of flirtiness from your grandma is just not okay. But I don't think it was on purpose. But
well,
let's,
yeah, I would have hoped not.
Let's see. I was getting the V-Line back here to come and do the show this morning yesterday. And as we know, I'm staying at my grandma's house. So I was messaging her, just letting her know, hey, like, I'm on the train. Hey, I just passed, you know, such and such station.
The hawk is inbound.
Basically, I was like, you know, my ETA is this, right?
Sure.
And so I sent her, yep, just passing this station. I reckon I'll be about half an hour.
Fair.
She's then sent back a thumbs up, which is totally fine. That says, yes, Emily, I acknowledge what you're saying and I am cool with it.
We're all familiar with thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Then, so two emojis, thumbs up, and then, you know the face, it's an emoji face, and it's like a half smile, but it's like the hey.
Oh,
it's
the, like the little the smirk. The wry smile?
Yes, it's like, and the eyebrows are raised a little, and it's like, hey.
It's the face you put after you say something moderately suggestive.
Yeah, right, it's like.
I know it well.
You look good, and then that face, or whatever.
Yeah.
What's the context you use it in?
I'm not going to say what context I use it in.
But it usually is in like a sexy...
It's not something you're sending intra-family.
No, it's like, I screenshot it because I was like, this is great material because it doesn't make any sense. And like, I don't know how she found it because when you're using your emojis, like the normal regular smiles are all one row, right? It's all just the first row is all just like... Little smile, big smile, huge smile.
They're quite basic unless you've got it in your recent emoji history.
Yeah, which obviously she's accidental.
Your grandma's clearly sexting.
Oh my gosh, I didn't think about that. Side eye with a smirk. She has been talking about this 93-year-old that she thinks is really nice.
Mate, if you start getting nudes all of a sudden, you'll know what's up. Back on your screens for season 5 tonight, The Masked Singer Australia. You can catch it at 7:30 on Channel 10 and 10 Play. Joining us right now is one of the many faces of the show. You've got Mel B, you've got Dave Hughes, Chrissy Swan and Abby Chatfield in there. Host of the program, though, it's Osher. Good morning, mate.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me. And hello, Victoria. Beautiful regional Victoria.
Whoa.
How I miss you.
Oh my gosh.
The sultry
I miss you
voice.
So.
You know, you
pardon?
Need this, we need the sultry voice because that is, you know, what is the Masked Singer if it wasn't for people's voices?
Exactly. It's exactly what it is. And it's me like that. You know, I never get to do that voice. Like I do the whispery voice.
Oh, I kind of
and
understand
I do the full Kermit super screamy voice on Masked Singer, but I rarely just get to go, good morning, welcome. Here we are. Here's some Ed Sheeran. I don't get to do that anymore.
Wow.
Well, make sure we flick on some Ed Sheeran. Osh, can we ask? I know you're going to, you've probably got.
Don't ruin everybody's morning. Don't play Ed Sheeran.
I think we're legally obligated to play him every second song.
So yeah, I know. That. I know.
He pays the bills, mate. I know you get this one a lot. Do you actually have any idea who's going up there in the costumes?
No, I've got no clue at all.
Do you
and that's part of the thing. Like, I'm in the business of non-scripted television or what we call, people call reality, it's also non-scripted. And in that game, like in scripted TV, what's the thing that you look for? You look for the emotional response. Like when someone goes, oh, you love me, or oh my God, I'm going to die, or oh my God, you killed them. Like that's the emotional response that you watch TV for. So in this game, capturing someone's authentic emotional response is the only, that's our bread and butter. Hey, you made it through the top 100. Wow, that's their face. That's the moment. Oh, you didn't make it. You're terrible. So when you see me going, oh my God, it's like, that's real. I'm like, oh, can't believe it's you. It blows my mind.
That's insane. Is there some kind of like high security Fort Knox style dressing room situations?
Oh, absolutely. Like completely. Because that's the secret to the show. You know, if you had tickets to go, it's like, oh my God, we're going to the grand final, we're going to the MCG, we're going to go, we're going to see it. And I, before you went, showed you the last 30 seconds of the fourth quarter. You'd be like, oh, dude, I was going to, like I took that from you. I'm like, who were you before you watched America Ferrera's monologue in Barbie? And who are you after that? Like, and if I tell you about it, it's not the same, is it? So I wouldn't want to take that from you. So of course, there's this huge amount of security around this stuff because that is the promise of our show. That's the thing that we deliver.
Whoa.
We're very excited to obviously
I think about this stuff a lot.
Mate, we're excited to see what celebs we pull out. Look, as you say, you don't know. And I hope this isn't rude in asking, but look, when we do get the reveal, is there ever a panic moment in you going, geez, I hope I know who this is?
Every time. Every single time. I narrow it down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like I narrow it down. I'm like, I just, because the guesses get pretty obvious towards the end and the panel get pretty close to it. Like they get it right, you know, a few times.
Mm.
And so it's either, you know, one of the names they've already said, or I might have my own idea. So I've got a couple of names ready to go.
Okay. Do you have any tips or tricks for us playing along at home for trying to secure a good guess? Are there any?
Yeah, absolutely. So be really mindful of two things. Number one, be mindful of your primacy bias, which is the first idea that you have will often lock itself in as the most unreal one because of the way our brains work. And then so every clue that comes after that, then confirmation bias shows up.
Right.
And that you then start shoving evidence into making you believe that this thing is right because you have this identity of like, I want to feel correct about this, you know, like climate deniers. You just like, you just want to be, you want it to be real. It's not, but you're like, but it's a warm day because it's September. It's fine. It's like, no, it's actually bad. So you need to kind of try as hard as you can to go, well, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong? Because our clue team are so good and so cunning and so mean, they will red herring us up the wazoo.
Okay, so don't fall for the red herrings and make sure that you don't have too much confirmation bias.
Try to have at least three going all at once.
Oh, and by the way,
don't
herring,
lock into one.
Red herring, an incredible costume idea for next season if they are looking for one.
That is the best costume idea I've had. I'm going to tell Tim Chappell.
Thank you.
That's really good.
I'd like to see it up there. Incredible costumes. You can see that tonight. And also look out for those clues and have a guess yourself. Massive lineup of celebrities who we don't even know yet. You've got Dave Hughes, Mel B, Chrissy Swan, Abby Chatfield, and Osher, who joins us now. Osh, we're keen to see it tonight. Thank you so much for joining us.
Mate, you can't. Tonight's our first night. It's so good. And I wear my new mask tonight. I wear my big LED Daft Punk mask tonight.
Oh,
super fun.
I mean, if just for that, you have to.
Absolutely.
You got to. And watching me try to dance, it's hilarious.
Can't wait. Cheers, mate.
Bye, guys.
Letters from Jules.
Dear Diary.
What did young Jules write back in the day?
For the very last time, we're joined by someone who's on the other side of the world. She'll be joining me on the other side of this desk next week when she is back. Jules, hello.
Hello, Nick. Hello, Em. Guys, I'm in London and I'm about to make my long, long trek back home to Victoria. And oh boy, it has been a long month, but I'm excited to see you guys again.
It'd be great to have you back in here as well. Where have you spent the last week? Because last week when we spoke, where were you?
That's a great question. I think last time we checked in, I was in Italy, since on Salzburg, Berlin and Amsterdam. No, I was in Prague. That's right. Oh, God, it all blurs into one.
What a world to be living in. What's the last week been like?
It's been good. It's been a lot of history, I guess. Berlin's chock-a-block full of that, coupled with, you know, a contrast of partying. So it's been fun. It's been interesting. We also ran into another Contiki group who were doing a 37-day trick. And this one guy was bawling his eyes out in the elevator on the last night when we shared the same hostel. He's just like, I couldn't get any sleep. I was just so depressed by going home and leaving all my friends goodbye.
Aww. So nice. I thought he was just really not enjoying the trip. That's a much nicer... what have the people been like on your trip that you've been hanging out with? I've seen you've sort of formed a small group, judging by your Instagram posts.
Yeah, I've made some good friends. I've been the third oldest of the group, so taken almost on the mum status. But weirdly, guys, I've become like best friends with some of the 18-year-olds. And I'm not down with the lingo. they've been teaching me. And look, I guess, you know, she's tried to become less than, a couple of weeks away from 30. And she's also run into a lot of Taylor Swift fans. So plenty of Swifties that just will randomly recite her discography or throw in lyrics. It's hardcore, guys. Wow. So... it's probably good I'm coming home.
Swiftie revolution is real.
Yeah, it turns out you didn't need to go to the other side of the world for that. We knew they were there. How beautiful.
Well, your seat has been kept warm, so it's ready for you to jump right in.
Em, thank you. You've done God's work. I appreciate you. And now get off my seat.
And Jules, I should say, because you are going to be joining us for the first show back next Monday, when you're back in, I've got a present for you.
You got a present? I'm the one that's supposed to bring souvenirs. What have you got?
I've got a massive gift, not only for you, but for the entire show. Something massive on Monday.
Oh, my God, for the Nick and Jules show.
Not the other show we do. So, absolutely. So you've got that to look forward to.
Can I have a hint?
It won't fit in your carry-on.
Okay, that's good, because I was almost over the limit. So,
all right,
so I'm very intrigued. I'll have to find out Monday.
Nor would it be legal for you to bring on your carry-on. So you've got that to look forward to on Monday show, right?
Oh, dear God. Oh, amazing. Thanks, guys. I'll see you soon.
And 131060, we're asking what your partner's annoying habit is.
My partner twice on the weekend showed some of his annoying habits. One, shaving his beard or like the edges of his beard and just leaving the little bits of hair in the sink in the bathroom.
Yeah, the crust of the beard, if you will.
For hours.
Yeah, if you're shaving anything, anywhere, anytime, get rid of it.
Yeah, it sounds like an ad, but it's true.
Actually, how's this? If you're cutting something off your body, whatever that might be.
In the bin immediately.
And then burn the bin.
Yes.
Just while we're being safe. Let's head to the phones right now to find out what your partner's annoying habits are. You know, get it off your chest. Over to Bendigo right now. We've got Lisa. Lisa, what's your partner's annoying habit?
In a previous job role, I used to work for a plumbing company.
Okay.
And he decided that any time anything went wrong in the house, whether it was plumbing or structural, I had to fix it.
Well, that's interesting. You say that's an annoying habit. Was that him not wanting to pay for a professional, or was that him actually having faith in your abilities?
No, that was him just being lazy, not wanting to do it.
Okay. Well, I'm glad he's an ex-partner, to be honest.
That makes sense. Lisa, what level of problem would he then, I guess, divert to you?
So we had a sliding door fall off at one point, and I got home from work. He goes, oh, that's plumbing related. You can fix that.
Interesting.
Oh, my gosh.
Was he trying to be coy? Did he know that he was being a bit of a pest about it, or did he actually think that he was passing this off as your technical trade skills?
No, he thought he was actually, trying to do the right thing, and, I was more trade-minded than him.
What kind of work was he in, Lisa?
He was a factory worker.
Oh, well, okay. He's put stuff together, or at least he knows about assembly. The door thing's quite on the nose, isn't it?
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, he's not around anymore. That's why he's the ex, Lisa. You've onwards and upwards. Thanks for the call.
No problem.
All right, up to the border right now. We've got Jess. What's your partner's annoying habit?
So my partner's annoying habit is he picks his nose in his sleep and wipes it on the side of the sheet.
No.
In his sleep?
Yes.
Not whilst he's like sort of half asleep, falling asleep. Like he's actually like sound asleep and he will...
Asleep. He's asleep and he'll pick his nose and every time I change the sheet, there are boogers on the side of the mattress on the sheet.
Oh, oh my gosh. It's like a whole new level of like sleep talking or sleep walking. It's sleep picking.
It is gross.
Whoa.
Have you spoken to him about it?
All the time about it, yeah.
Well, I guess because he's asleep. Yeah, it's hard to fix though, isn't it?
It is. It is.
But I mean, you know how there's like sleep apnea machines where you can like put it on and it helps you snoring? Maybe there's some kind of like finger brace that can like stop him from...
Would you prefer a nose plug or would you prefer to handcuff him, do you think?
Probably a nose cuff.
Yeah, there you go.
The handcuffing seems way less S&M while you're trying to have a bit of shut eye. Thanks for the call.
Nick and Jules. That was the Nick and Jules podcast. Know someone who would make a great disability support worker? Employ them through Carer Solutions.